You know the word meta? You ever hear people say meta? That's so meta. What do they mean by that? Anybody? I was like, what are you even talking about? So meta, somebody, this thing gets meta, or they're so meta, meant they're breaking that third wall. Ozzy and Harriet, Honeymooners, Father Knows Best. Think of an old show, Knight Rider. Don't even go old. Knight Rider's old. Those people were doing a thing, and they were there, and I was here, and never the twain shall meet. Now, Parks and Rec, The Office, you're like, oh, why is that funny? They're doing a funny thing. They do a different thing. They're having their life. It's a story. They're being there. And then all of a sudden, they're aware of you, and they turn, and they talk to you, and you're like, you're not supposed to know that I'm here. I am just a passive observer in my living room being entertained. And so that's meta. You know, they're doing something that's meta. They're breaking that third wall. They're talking like how does that even? And so it's funny. It's a thing. And so Molly said, apparently I get up here and I apologize every time I start, before I even start talking. And she was like, do not get up there and apologize. I'm like, okay. Some of that is not an apology. Some of it is, I wish, it makes me a little bit crazy that there's no stairwell right here. Because I love doing this. But I love to do it with you. I hate when there's just this third wall and I'm doing a thing, and you are the passive recipients, and never the twain shall meet. So my favorite thing is when I can see these stairs are so far away. Like, I got to come all the way around, and that's ridiculous. I love when I can get down here because I love you guys. Because then I can see you, and me and you can do this thing, and that's good. I love when we can do this together, because then we're doing something. So, well, but anyway, you're safe because there's no stairwell there. It's kind of a big pain in the neck. That takes a lot of time. I got to talk all the way down and all the way back, and that's tricky. So, open your Bibles. Matthew chapter 8. We read this stuff, and we have read it so many times that we just don't even, it's just words. Man, it's just bouncing off the front of our head. I've read that part, and I got something out of it, and that's what there is to get out of it, and I shouldn't anticipate that there's anything more. And I'm like, all right. And then I'm like, oh, there's something different there that I didn't notice before, and it's crazy. So here it is. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, an expert in Moses' teachings, a lawyer, somebody who does the law. The first five books, this guy's all about it. He's a Jew. He's a religious leader. An expert of Moses' teachers came to him and said, Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus told him, Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to sleep. And so the guy walks away. He's like, oh, rats, I'm not really signing up for that. I need some creature comforts. And that's the end of that story. And then they tell you another story. A disciple said to him, Sir, first let me go to bury my father. But Jesus told him, Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. So we're like, okay, this is another one. The guy says, I would love to follow you, but, and this one threw me for a few years. Probably you all already know this, but perhaps some of you are young and don't. He's not suggesting that you shouldn't go to your father's funeral. Nod your head if you've heard this before. Okay, what he's telling him, the guy is saying to Jesus, he's like, listen, I would love to be a follower. I'd love to be a disciple. I'd love to continue in my already begun discipleship role. But I'm going to need some resources. Let me just, my aging father, of course I'm taking care of him. When he dies, I stand to inherit all this stuff. And then, look, then I'll be set. And we can do whatever. I won't have to work for a living. I'll have this nest egg behind me, and we can do our thing. And Jesus says, sorry, pal, if you want to follow me, let's go. Let's do it now. Jump in. We're rolling. I don't have time for you to wait around, you know, for this guy to kick off so you can collect the inheritance. I've always looked for something more in that second part, but I don't think there is. I think it's just kind of a smart aleck, just kind of a clever, like he's just being clever. He's like, you let the dead bury their dead. I'm like, whoa. So he is just being a little bit snarky there, just a little edgy with the guy. And the guy's like, ah, rats. So a second guy leaves. There's two separate things. The first dude leaves, the second guy leaves, and then we shift gears. In fact, in my Bible, there's another heading. He gets done with all of that, and they leave, and they're going somewhere. Jesus' disciples went with him as he left in a boat. Suddenly, a severe storm came across the sea. The waves were covering the boat. Yet Jesus was sleeping, so they woke him up. Lord, save us, we're dying. And Jesus says, you know the rest of it. What's your problem? You cowards, why do you have so little faith? He rubs the sleep out of his eyes and stands up. Then he says, ocean, wind, stop. And they do. And the disciples go like that. They're like, oh my word, what manner of man is this? They're amazed. They're startled. They're astounded. And so the application there is Jesus calms the storm. So when you have something unpleasant in your life, this same miraculous Jesus will calm the storm in your life, blah, blah, blah. So we're like, okay, we've got that, you know. Follow Jesus, even if he doesn't promise you, you'll have a place to live. Application two, make Jesus the priority over your earthly possessions. That's fine. And application three, Jesus will calm the storm in your life because he's miraculous and he can do that sort of thing. And there you are, your three separate stories. And then, as I read them, I was like, oh, this is not, it's not three separate deals at all. This is all actually, despite the separate subheadings in my Bible, this is actually all the same thing. So now, you know that in your Bible, it isn't always chronological. We would like for this thing, because we are Western, we would like for it to be linear. I would like for you to start at the beginning, and I would like you to move through the build-up and the character introduction, develop them, and then introduce the conflict, and the whole thing comes to a head, and then we resolve it, and you tell me that everybody lives happily ever after, and that's the end of Revelation. That's what we would like. But then, they just didn't do it that way. First of all, it's more than one book. And inside of each book, they didn't even bother to do it that way neatly there because they didn't always care about that. Sometimes it's grouped thematically. Sometimes it's put in order of, listen, I'm just going to tell you the important things. I know that this isn't exactly the order in which it happened, but who cares? These are the important things you need to know about. And then in the New Testament, John is like, listen, I'm just writing these things in here that I'm so convinced that Jesus is the God. I'm going to put the things in here that tell that story because that's what I'm focusing on. And so it's a little bit tricky, but then I was like, okay, that being the case, kids, do you remember this? Fill in the blank. Something is king. Context. Context is king. So, then I started thinking to myself, the Lord didn't just accidentally cob this thing together. He didn't just sort of throw all that business in there. I'm like, oh, well, what is all around this thing? And then I was like, oh, duh, it's all the same. We're telling the same thing here. It's all actually the same application. an expert in Moses' teachings, came to him and said, "Teacher, I'll follow you." Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but I don't have anywhere to sleep." And yet, clearly Jesus was sleeping somewhere every night. Do you know where this was happening? Do you know? Anybody? This was in Capernaum. I hate when people say Capernaum, because it's not an E, but it sounds awkward if you have to say Capernaum every single time. So it's just, I just hate saying that name, because there's no good way to do it. He's in Capernaum, and Capernaum is slightly more cosmopolitan than the backwoods hick town he grew up in. He grew up in Nazareth, and when he came of age, he finished his carpentry apprenticeship, and he's like, "It's time for me to embark on ministry." He left his little small town, and he moved to Capernaum, in part because it's where things are happening, in part because I'm trying to get out of my hometown and do a thing, and in part because, like, he's God, and he listens to God better than you and I do, and so the Lord told him to. So he moves down there. This is a center for commerce and commercial activity. There's fishing happening there, and there's traffic. So he's there. It's the hub of what's sort of going on in the area, and that's where he is. And he has a house that he lives in there in Capernaum. And he says to the dude, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but I don't really have anywhere to live." Well, but he does. So what is he saying? He's saying that he's not saying that God desires homelessness. He isn't telling the man, "If you want to come with me, then you must be homeless." Because that would be silly. He says, rather, your comfort and your willingness to operate without any guarantee of comfort has to be the priority. You have to be like, I am willing to. God does not swear up and down that I'm going to have a nice house or even a house. I'm not promising you that. If you want to follow me, you have to be comfortable with that non-guaranteed thing. Yes, I live somewhere. I have a house. But I'm telling you that that's not a promise. In fact, you're running a very real risk of not having that. If you want to come with me, I'm just going to tell you that on the front end. Be aware, you may not always have a house. Are you cool with that? And this one was kind of easy. The bar didn't have to be very high for this guy. He heard that. He's like, "Oh, I might be homeless." And he was done. Just like that, he was out. And we kind of go, "Yeah, okay, I sort of expected that." Because he wasn't like, this wasn't like Peter, James, or John. It says he's an expert in Moses' teachings. So we know that he already had position. He's probably got some money. People recognize him as a sort of standard bearer for Judaism. So he is comfortable. This man's got a spot in his life. He's got a degree. He's got a good job. The guy's set up okay. He's not an unbeliever. He doesn't hate Jesus. But he's not part of the inside crew. So the second guy comes along, and I suspect that the first guy was at least a peripheral believer, because the second guy comes along and it says another disciple. So now the second guy comes up, and he is also a disciple. So I'm like, oh, is that first guy a follower of some persuasion? Probably. He doesn't have to be, but it suggests that. So the second guy comes up, and he's got a little less actual, like, my life is good, physical comfort. Because life was sort of short and hard and dirty back then. You live to be 50 years old, you've done something. And he comes up and he says, Lord, you know, I'm in. Count me in. I'm going to follow you. But first, I heard what you said to that guy, and I have a great idea. If you would just let me finish out my 20 years in the Navy, I would have a retirement check coming. He didn't say that. He said, if you would just let me go, I have this deal set up, and I'm going to be set for the rest of my life. And I love you, and I am committed to you. So, it's a good idea. It's good for me, and it's good for you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you faithfully, religiously. Just let me. You don't have to guarantee me anything. Let me get this part done, and I'll have that taken care of. Ta-da! Bonus. And Jesus says, still not really what I'm looking for. So the first guy, that's easy. I'm going to throw stones at him all day long. Jesus doesn't guarantee you a house, so you're out. Sort of a lightweight. The second guy, we kind of throw rocks at him, but probably we shouldn't, because we do that. Jesus says, I would really like for you to engage this thing with me. What are some things that people do, like ministry-wise? Yeah, I'd like for you to work with little kids. Whatever. And we're like, I guess we got to go kind of full-time-ish, right? So you get some skin in the game. Maybe, maybe not. He's like, I would like you to do this thing. And it's going to cost you something. I already told that dude, no guarantees, and he was out. And so we're like, okay, cool, cool, cool. I'm a better disciple than he is, so count me in. Now, let me see how I can make that happen. Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to college and get my degree, and when I have that, I'm going to be set. I'll have a fallback position. In the event this thing doesn't work out, I will have myself set financially. I'll have myself set up physically so that I have at least got my nut covered. I have to be careful here. Because I'm pro-college. I have two kids in college right now, and I want them to be there. Like, that's a good idea. Kids, don't misunderstand. Go to school. But what this man is saying is, you're asking me to move by faith, and I'm telling you that I see a way for me to make that a reality. And God says, shut your mouth. I'm not really interested. Really? Yes. I would like you to obey me. And we say, okay, cool. Let me get some details first. And when I see what you have in mind, then I'll map a thing out. And you and I will embark on it together, Lord, and then we can move forward. And God is like, not at all what I'm looking for. I'm not interested in how you think you can make this thing work so that you are safe and covered and you've got to fall back. And Lord, I'm just going to prepare this safety net and then we can move forward. He's like, negative. You walking by faith, or are you just trying to figure out a way to do this thing? So the second guy, again, maybe let's don't be too tough on him because he is a church guy. He loves Jesus and he's there. But again, Jesus is like, that bar is not very high. And the man got tripped up. So he's out as well. Now, the third one, instead of shifting gears to a different story, this is still the same thing. We had Jewish leader, comfortable position, tangential believer. We had a disciple. The man has already given up some stuff and he's in. Like he's actually, I'm really following. But if I can't see how to make this happen, I'm just going to have to bow out. The third group, these are guys who had it and Jesus said, hey, come follow me. And they're like, boom. Dropping my fishing pole, walking away. Let's go. Right now, today, middle of the workday, leaving it laying on the ground. You're like, for real? You just dropped your hammer and walked off? Yep, let's go. So these are there were lots of disciples, 100, 150, give or take. There were 12 of them. These men lived with Jesus and ate with him and slept by him and were all day, every day. They weren't just following the tour bus around and camping out, you know, waiting for the show to start. They were on the inside. They're setting up the show. We're with Jesus. So it's these guys. Jesus says, all right, fellas, come on, let's go get in the boat. They get in the boat and Jesus is exhausted because he has to wear this thing. You know, he's got arms and feet and hair and a mouth. And it gets tired. And he's like, oh, my word, I'm exhausted. How do you people operate in this thing? He's laying in the boat sleeping. Meanwhile, God the Father is like, he's like, Lord, I'm going to sleep. The Lord says, yes, I already knew that. I know that you knew that, but I'm tired. I know that you're tired. Okay, that's cool. I'm going to sleep. While you're sleeping, I'm going to do some stuff anyway. Of course, I know you will because we do these things all the time. Even when my body is sleeping, we're still, it's God I'm doing. You're like, okay. He's sleeping. God is like, storm, 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 storm. These men in the boat are not strangers to the water. This is where they live. I love the seals. They talk about retreat to the water. These fishermen, they're like, that's cool. Let's go. Retreat to the water. That's my house, bro. I live out there. You know, I know how to do this. Put me in a boat. So they're out there. They're on the boat. The storm is apparently severe enough that the boat is just being swamped. They're no longer able to rely on their fisher's acumen. They're like, oh, the end is near. And they thought to themselves, I thought I was part of the inside crew. I thought that I was not just a Sunday morning only guy. If the first guy was a Christmas and Easter Christian, the second one, the disciple, he's a Sunday morning guy. The third group, these disciples, they are Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They go out on visitation Thursday night. They also work the bus ministry on Saturday morning. Like, these are the legit. They're for real. We ain't playing. And we have walked away from that stuff. So those first two bars you set, too low. We hurdled those things. We're there. In their head, they're saying, I thought that's who I was. And they look around. They're staring down they're staring in the jaws of death. And they're like, somebody wake him up. So two or three of them, of course, panic in their voices. Their throats are tight. They're like, don't you care that we are about to die? P.S. That's you. You're in this boat. We are in this thing. You, we, me, we are about to die. I think it's interesting to note, it's at least worth pointing out that Jesus does not smack them down verbally. Could have spoken sharply. He did exactly what he ought to do. But certainly in our mind, we would feel justified in saying, don't be an idiot. Like, knock it off. Do you think I know what's going on? None of that. He did offer this. There was some rebuke, at least. He says, you scaredy cats. You big fat chickens. Smile on his face. Song in his heart. He doesn't even raise his voice. He's like, are you for real? Seriously, you guys? He's like, you saw first guy, faithless. And you saw second guy, less faith. He's like, oh, I'm lumping you right in there. Seriously? Disciples? Like the inside? We're going to be the apostles? Lord, we're going to found the church after you go back to heaven. He's like, yes, you, little faith, your faith, you have little. You're this big. Your faith, so small. They're like, ugh. And then he stands up and he's like, hey, knock it off. And verbally, he says, he spoke to them and he sharply rebukes. He fusses at. He shuts down the wind and the ocean. And they ain't get it. He's like, we look at this and we go, for real? How do you not? They, like me, like the rest of us, they're like, oh, time out. I missed the connection. Jesus says, for these first two people up here, I presented them with potential scary things. And I told them, you should be aware there's the potential for scary in your future. And I don't want to hear about how you're going to fix it. Just tell me you're in and let's go. This third group, you knew those things and you said, okay, let's go. And you came, but then what did you think? Because you're with me? It's not really going to be? You thought perhaps I was just kidding about that? Or maybe that was some other day? Oh, you didn't think it was going to be like real. You thought it was just going to be somebody at work saying something ugly to you. And you were going to have to hold your Bible and stand piously and strong and be like, I'm a believer. Whatever. You didn't know I was going to actually pour water in your boat. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't think I was going to actually burn your house down. Oh, time out. You didn't think. What are horrible things that happen to us? Think of a horrible thing. Close your eyes. Think of a horrible thing. You got it? Okay. You're like, oh, I didn't know you meant real horrible. They're like, oh, stink. And so he corrects them. So the lesson is, the lesson is, we know that there is prospective ugly in your future. I'm following Jesus. Don't imagine you don't get any of the ugly. Because you do. Second of all, if he corrected them for their response to the ugly, there is something that they should have done besides what they did. So if they didn't do what they should have done, what was the thing that they should have done? Remember where we are. Little boat, big water, inside the boat. What are they supposed to do? What should they have done? What was their last command? Now, this is the part you have to help me out a little bit. If I just stand here and ask it and nobody says anything, it looks ridiculous. What was the last thing Jesus told them to do? Quick, some brave soul. Say, go to the other side of the lake. Yes, go to the other side of the lake. Very good. Oh, my word. It's like pulling teeth. All right. He told them to go to the other side of the lake. It's suddenly very ugly. What should they have done? Keep rowing! Keep rowing! And say what? Lord, I'm freaking out. I'm rowing. I'm still rowing, but I would like you to know, I'm kind of freaking out here. The water is coming in the boat. Are they allowed to come up with a solution? What do you think? All the yeses, raise your hand. All the noes, raise your hand. I'm feeling a yes here, frankly. You can disagree with me on this one, but I'm feeling a yes. Because, like, if my house burned down tomorrow, I would still say, yay, Lord, I love you. My happiness is not in my house. It's cool. And I would pick up a hammer. Let's start building a house now. You know? I still got to have something on top of my kids. Rain out, bugs out, whatever. I'm rebuilding the house. If my teenage daughter gets pregnant tomorrow, I'm going to be like, ooh. I'm like, all right, Lord, you are still God. I love you. Life is still, maybe it's good and maybe it's not good. You are still good. And now, let's raise this kid. Maybe I'll have to go work at Starbucks as a barista. I need a second job, you know? But I'm going to think of a way to do, all right, Lord, I trust you and it's cool. And I'm going to be happy in this storm and I'm going to keep rowing. Maybe they deploy the three guys in the back. Us eight up here will keep rowing. You three guys, take your hats or a bucket or a shoe and start bailing this water out of here, because we got to keep this thing moving. We're supposed to get to the other side. And what was the real rebuke? What was his real rebuke for? What was their actual sin? Where did they fall short? And they shoulda, they coulda. He's like, man, the real issue is not what you did. The real issue is this. I told them the bar is here. They weren't interested. You came, and then we got there. And suddenly, you're like, oh, I'm scared to death. Stop it. Now, have you ever attempted anything and you thought to yourself, this thing is from the Lord. I feel confident that I'm doing what God would have me to do. Please raise your hand. Please help me out. You felt like God wanted you to do it and you were doing it. We were going to start a business, you know, and our small group was at our house. And we're like, we really are trying to move wisely and do what God wants us to do. And we think we'd like to do this. Would you just pray with us? As we were praying, so we had a second line in the house, you know, for the business. As we were praying, it's like 7 o'clock at night. As we're praying, the business line rings. So we're all like, Lord, would you give us direction? We just want to do well and do what you would like. As we're praying that, literally, the words are coming out of our mouths. The telephone rings, and it was, because it's late at night, it was somebody in California. Some vendor in California was like, hey, we saw your stuff, and we really love it. We would like to buy a whole ton of it and carry your junk all the time. We're like, whoa. So as we're praying, we get this call, and so we all look at each other and you're like, if that's not God, like, we're asking him to reveal to us what to do. And the phone rang. So what do you do with that? Well, I don't know. I just don't think God is really in it. I'm like, no way, man. We're there. Dude, let's go. I'm not all about signs. I don't think there's always a literal physical sign. You know, whatever you think about that. We took that as a green light from God. So we did it. We moved forward. And we met with initial successes, and then the whole thing went belly up and we lost a ton of money. I was like, time out, Lord. You told me to get in this boat. I feel like you told me to get in this boat. and get over there to the other. And now, what are we doing? My dumb boat is full of water. I thought you were in this thing. And now look at us. Look, Lord, look at what the shape we're in. Me and you, we're supposed to be doing this kingdom building thing. And instead, my boat's full of water. So, we say to our children, all right, kids, might be tough. But man, talk is cheap. Because when it actually gets ugly, we're like, oh, Lord, come on, really? If they hadn't woken him up, would the storm have stopped? Yeah, it might have eventually, presumably, all storms stop eventually. It doesn't matter. That's exactly right. Doesn't matter. You just row. And row with a happy smile on your face. And if you're like, I can't wear a happy smile right now. You can. If you can't, it's because of this. When it's ugly and you're like, oh, this stinks. You know why you feel like all, ugh? He says, oh, ye of little faith. You boat full of faithless dogs. What? Yes, you. You walk around work telling everybody how bad it is. You don't tell everybody how bad it is, but you walk around work like this. How you doing? Well, you know. Oh, you serve that God. Awesome. Sign me up. God is like, you faithless dog. All right. Close your eyeballs. Am I supposed to be done now? It's 12:05. Is that Dave's? That's good. Later? I'm thinking about the kids in junior church. I know. I'm like, oh, they are. Somebody rescue them. Listen, parents, would you go get your kids first and then come back here and talk to your friends? You can do whatever you want, but go get your kids. All right, close your eyes. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, this is the room full of people who, and we're there. We love you and we want to do this thing with you. Father, I pray that there wouldn't be anybody in here who gets turned off by that first kind of low bar. I pray that all of us would be like that. All right, we understand the risks and we're in. Lord, I pray that I want this to be a group of people who, when you go over that first hill and it's like, ooh, but I pray that we'd be able to relax because of the, you know, the harness. Lord, you're the harness. That's good. You've got this. Help us just to relax, wave our hands in the air, shout with joy. Pray that people would see that we are excited about our God when it's ugly. We love you, Lord. I would just like this to be an unusual group in that respect. Help us to learn that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.